We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sec. Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Unscripted. Today is March 3rd. Welcome to March, best month of the year in my mind. We are getting back to you after a little bit of a break. We had spring break for Michigan State students. I was in Mexico and did not have my computer. Wasn't able to really watch college basketball all for the week. I missed the Ohio State game. So Johnny's going to talk a little bit about that. Then we're going to do a little bit of talk about Michigan State's loss to Purdue and kind of where things are at. Three-game losing streak for the Spartans at the end of the year. Really brutal timing. And so we'll talk about all of that, talk about a little bit of the tourney stuff. But first, I'll let Johnny talk about the Ohio State game that I missed. I know it was bad. I heard plenty of things about it, but Johnny and I have not had the ability to or the chance to really go deep into conversation about it. So Johnny, lay it on me. How bad was it?
Bad. And it was tough, right? I think we talked after the Iowa game and kind of let some emotion out about the team and their lineups and, you know, maybe a little bit about Izzo, but it was just, for me, it was a lot worse. And it just came down, again, to effort. But then also the lineups, like, I think a lot of people have been vocal about Booker this year. And I know you were very vocal about it. I was a little bit throughout the year, but at this point, and obviously we'll get into the Purdue game, it was, again, kind of unacceptable. The minutes he had that second half, right? He started the game. Everyone was so happy. He had a great first half. And then, you know, come out to start the second half, play the 4 or 5 minutes, and then not come back on that court. And then you kind of see how this game develops. You know, I wrote down, we scored 7 points in the last 11 minutes. I mean, it's not much. The offense really just disappeared. And, you know, that could come down to an assortment of things. Walker didn't shoot well, 5 of 15. Aikens was 1 of 9. Your two, you know, best, you know, scoring shooting guards didn't really have it. But, you know, a lot of people talked about Mahdi playing the last, like, 8 minutes of the game. And, yeah, Izzo's talked about they having him on defense, but 7 points in the last 11 minutes isn't going to cut it versus anybody, definitely in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, I was on Twitter a little bit that night trying to get a little bit of a gauge on how the game went. And my older brother, who is also a Spartan, he was texting me throughout the game that I missed it. But going back, he wasn't so happy with how things were going. And yeah, I think the big thing that I took away from that game was Booker starting. And I saw all the videos on Twitter of the introduction and how hyped Breslin was. And everyone on the team looked so happy for him. And you could just kind of tell Book was so happy in that moment to be there in the starting lineup. And then to hear that, like, things were going well. And at halftime, when I got my update, I was like, oh, great. Like, let's just keep it up. That sounds great. Exactly what I expected, being someone who has been looking for Booker all season, as you alluded to. And then, yeah, I guess he just didn't play in the last 15 minutes. And it's like, I mean, what the hell are we doing? Like, that's like, what? That makes absolutely no sense. But yeah, I didn't get to watch it, so it's hard for me to really give, like, good analysis for this game. Losing at home in the Big Ten, man, that's two games in a row. And we talked about it all season, like how hard it is to go on the road and win. And I mean, hats off to Iowa and Ohio State. Those are two teams trying to play their way into the tournament late in the year, while Michigan State and Wisconsin are doing almost everything they can to miss the tournament, it seems like. So the Big Ten's kind of been thrown upside its head the last week or two. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else for the Ohio State game?
I mean, not really. I mean, again, all I can say is you're lucky you weren't watching that game
Yeah,
because
I
the
feel I
emo I
truly feel lucky,
yeah.
Mike.
I mean, I wasn't there. I was, from break, I went back home, so I'm watching it back home, and I just it was like I think Iowa game was more like this sadness of like how did we, three game win streak, get these wins on the road, like this team's gonna find direction, and then for that to happen, I think Ohio State for me was just like this angry. I was just so angry and.
Yeah.
It was just tough, but you give credit to Ohio State, the interim coach. They're fighting for him. They're pulling off these wins, and I think that's they were a talented team. I know we both talked about that in the beginning of the year, in our review. But Bonner hitting that three, that's March. That's college basketball. So that sucks being on the wrong side of it, but everyone else loves watching that. So it is
Yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we can get into the Purdue game. Spartans lose last night in West Lafayette, 80-74. Obviously, it's disappointing whenever you lose. But this game was a little weird, I thought. Michigan State got out to a good start and were hitting shots early on, got out to a bit of a lead, got tight again at halftime, and I have to start here. The refs were just I hate to go straight to the refs, but Zach Edey drew 16 fouls. Like, that's so crazy. And the one, like, obviously he's gonna draw fouls, he always has, but 16 is just an absurd number. And there's this screenshot on Twitter, and they showed the replay in slow-mo, and I knew it was BS right away. Malik Hall is like this. Zach Edey has an elbow reverse where my elbow is into his neck, and Malik's like this, and he gets a foul call. And I think it was his third or fourth foul. And it's just like, I mean, what are you supposed to do? The guy is, he's the big maple. He's the best player in college basketball, and he's a ginormous human being. I don't know. I mean, good for Edey. Like, he makes his free throws. I think that's kind of a really underrated part of his game, is he does draw fouls, obviously, and he does capitalize on that. And then, yeah, Booker's another one. And like, that game was not all on the refs. Michigan State shot very poorly from the field. But yeah, when Booker was in, Edey wasn't allowed to just sit in the paint and defend the lane the whole time. And whenever Booker was in, it was opening things up for Hogard and Akins and Walker, and just making things really easy for for the guards. But yeah, I mean, what were your thoughts on the game?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you want to talk about your thoughts on the refs and Booker, give them to me.
I mean, yeah,
Whatever.
refs, I complain about the refs. Every game, and not just Michigan State. It's just the Big Ten. I think you go across college basketball, and each conference is just officiated differently. That's just how it is. And
Yeah.
I think when you get to March, you get the March Madness tournament. it's different. And I think that's one thing you could look at was Purdue and see how they adjust to that kind of, we're not getting those calls. And you talked about the Lee Hall one. Everyone has seen it on Twitter. It's everywhere, right? You can't, but no, but Booker, I mean, great. I was gonna mention it. He now played, last two games, both games plus 11 on the floor. And again, plus minus, and it's whatever it is. It's just a small sample size, but you saw it last night. That started the game when he came in, knocked down two threes. We say every time, doesn't matter. He could go five games not playing on a second, and he comes in, he's ready to shoot. And I think that's just an awesome mentality he's always had. And there was the growing pains with defense, and obviously no one's stopping Edie, but it goes both ways, right? He can't stop Edie inside, but then, like you said, you drag him outside, it opens up so much for everybody else. And I think that's kind of the way you do beat Purdue. And I think we saw that last year with FQ again. Can't compare, but you see that model. And again, Booker gave some great minutes when he was in that game. We saw a little bit aggressive. I think we're seeing an aggressive Booker the last couple of games, not just outside, but a couple of opportunities. He had that and one dunk. I just think he's getting comfortable. And now he's bringing that emotion I think we've been wanting to see. And I think that's all good signs for him going forward.
Yeah, it's definitely good signs, and I've been saying a lot of stuff about Booker and how I think Izzo might lose him into the portal. I mean, I obviously hope not, because he does continue, like, he obviously has progressed a good bit. But yeah, I like you said, I love his mentality where he doesn't play a lot, but when he does, he's ready to go and he is ready to shoot and try and make an impact, and it feels like he always does. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I thought State looked like a tourney team last night. Obviously, we're now into bubble talk because of the three-game losing streak. And I don't think the committee holds a 6-point loss at Purdue. That's obviously not a bad loss at all. I think they looked good. But I do think there's one other thing we have to talk about, kind of a recurring theme the last few games. AJ Hogard. A guy who I love watching Hogard play. I think he's a massive reason why Michigan State wins and loses games. And unfortunately, it's been like, I think he was a massive reason why State won the Illinois game. But I think he was also maybe the biggest reason why they lost to Iowa, Ohio State, and Purdue. Just looking back in terms of stat line, obviously I didn't watch the Ohio State game, but Iowa and Purdue, it's just the energy when it, like, and when it feels like every time we say the energy is not there, the person, it's all like, it's the entire team, but it always feels like it starts in with Hogard. And when the energy's always there, it's like, it's because AJ's leading it. And so it's when your senior point guard is just out of it for three, well, like at the end of the season, it's just hard to, like, it's hard to see that as a fan, really. I don't really know how else to put it. Obviously, Twitter, it's all over Twitter. They're dragging him. It's bad. Last night was kind of bad. The Twitter world was not a fan of it. I mean, they are always hating on Hogard, but the last week or so, it's been pretty bad. I don't know. It's hard to defend him at this point. Like, I don't really know. I've tried to defend him at times, but I don't think I can anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? We want to believe in him. We've seen him at his best. We've seen him at his worst. And I think you said it best, Illinois, he was at his best. And it's that energy he brings on both sides of the ball. And I don't, no one's, whoever's stepping on the floor, no one wants to play bad. That. But if it's just the effort, is the energy, right? 3 of 13 from the field. He's missing layups. I don't know. It's tough. Senior point guard 4 years. You think of the long line of Izzo point guards, right? And kind of that stability at the point guard spot. And it hasn't really been there yet. And I see, people keep talking about it, right? If Fears was healthy, what would we be looking at, really? Would he be playing? Who knows? And I know we talked, I was very high on Fears, and obviously such an unfortunate event, right? And so where would this team be, right? Would have, so. I don't know. It's tough. we got to keep believing him because there's not really, Trey's been playing great, but I still don't know if he's enough to be a true point guard, really lead this team yet. So I think you guys still ride with Hogard. But, 2 games left in this Big Ten schedule, and then off we go. So he's got to turn it around.
Yeah, and I definitely I don't want to say like AJ doesn't care. I know he does. Like that's it's crazy the people like that I see on Twitter and stuff and hear are like just talk around campus being like he doesn't care at all. It's like no, he cares. I think it's more complicated than that. I don't know. I like you said it. He doesn't no one wants to go out and lose. Like he wants to win. He's on the team. He cares more than the fans, I promise you. But yeah, I think getting into some other stuff here. Jerry Palm posted an article this morning. He says MSU's still in the field, and he believes the way he worded it kind of sounded like Michigan State. He thinks only has to win one of their last 2 games, those being Northwestern at home this Wednesday for senior night. That'll be an emotional game, and I think I'd put money on that Hogard points over for that one. I just like we just talked about it. It's his last game. I bet you he's gonna be so locked in. I expect a good game from Hogard on Wednesday. If he doesn't play good, then I'll be really, really concerned. And then at Indiana a week from today on Sunday, at 4:30. So last 2 games, I think if the Spart Jerry Palm said it, and I did kind of agree. They win one of the last two, they should be in. It would be great, obviously, to win both and try and get a little bit of a run and, maybe win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament and try and get back on a 7 line. Everything I've been seeing, that like the most recent stuff, has the Spartans on mostly the 9 line. Lenardi's last version of Bracketology came out on March 1st, and he had them as the 8 seed in the East. Second round date with UConn. How about that? So yeah, I don't think Spartan fans would want that. So I think
No.
there's definitely a chance to maybe climb into a 7 line and hopefully get into a line with a 2 seed. I wanted to talk about tourney expectations a little bit. I wrote this down. Tourney expectations, I have none. The season's just been a disappointment. There's been some highs for sure. The Baylor game, the Illinois win. Sweeping Michigan's always great. I love that. But the season's also had lows, and so I don't know. I'm not saying I don't think I'm not saying I think they're gonna lose in the first round. I just don't have expectations. I'm trying to, what happens happens. That's really where I'm at with this team. But I am very excited for March. I'm not just a Michigan State fan. Well, I am a Michigan State fan, but I'm a national fan. I love college basketball. Yesterday was a great slate. The Tennessee Alabama game was very fun to watch. The Vols have quickly become one of my favorite teams. I've been tweeting about them a lot this year, a little bit. I think Dalton Knecht is so awesome. He's so fun to watch. I think the Vols are one of my Final Four teams. I also another team that I had tweeted about a little bit over break. Illinois. I think Illinois's got a chance to win the national title. Terrence Shannon Jr. obviously had that whole situation, and he's been reinstated since. And I didn't know how that would go, and all that. But it does sound. I don't know the updates in that case and if he's gonna be good to go for March. But I haven't heard anything saying that he might not be good to go. And he's been so awesome. And I love that they spread the ball around offensively. Domask had 31 and 8 rebounds against Wisconsin yesterday, in Madison, the Mr. Basketball in 2019 in Wisconsin. So that was pretty cool for a homecoming for him. But yeah, I'm super pumped. Tuesday night, Purdue going to Champaign to take on Illinois. That'll be a great game to watch. I'm super excited for that. But I just like Illinois a lot in the tournament. I like how they've got like they can play that five out style with Coleman Hawkins and kind of really open up the paint, and they've got great drivers. TSJ is so good at getting to the rim and creating, and I feel like I always prefer to pick teams to go make a run in March who have one certified star, kind of because when I first started watching, you know, you had Kemba Walker, you had even teams like, I mean, still UConn, but Shabazz Napier. I just loved when you have a mega star in your team with great pieces around it. And I think Illinois is just that. Another team I like is Creighton. I love Creighton. Those are just three teams I wanted to talk about a little bit on today's pod because they're teams that I enjoy watching, and Michigan State is not one of those teams. And so I wanted to talk about some teams that I think are fun. But yeah, shout out to Illinois, Creighton, and Tennessee for entertaining me throughout when Michigan State disappoints.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Illinois is, fast pace, right? I watched, I think it was Thursday night, Illinois, Minnesota. They're hitting 105. It's like 105 to 97. It was a crazy game. And that's what you get, right? You talked about it. I think Terance Shann is probably one of the more electric players in college basketball. His speed is unmatched, just going downhill. He's excellent at getting to the foul line. And then you said it, the pieces around him, Damask, right? Dropping 30 to have those pieces around. Coleman Hawkins is probably one of the more versatile players in the whole, all college basketball. So can they defend, right? Can that, they haven't made that Sweet 16 a long time, but this is that team for them, but they got to defend. Tennessee, totally with you. Dalton Kennett. I put them in my preseason Final Four after we played them. I had to. My preseason Final Four does not look good though, because it had us.
Yeah,
Man.
I don't even remember. I could find it somewhere on my Twitter or in these recordings. I know I had to have said it, but
Yeah, I said Tennessee, us. I went Baylor, and I did Villanova as my wild card. So right now,
I definitely had
it's just
State in
Tennessee.
it, so that's not a great pick, but yeah, I don't know who else.
But no, I mean, another team I like to watch and is Kentucky, right? I mean, they're dropping 100, but we'll see if that can work in March, right? Young team, but Reed Shepherd and Dillingham are just electrifying,
They're
and
just lights
NBA
out.
players.
Yeah,
That's just
they're
what it is.
lights out.
So we'll see, right? Everyone talks about defense. We just talked about some high offensive powers, right? We'll see
Yeah.
who they collide with. But no, I mean, March is the best month of the year without a doubt. So I'm excited. But I do have one more thing to talk about. I'll let you go, but I do have one thing I have to mention about us.
All right, let's hear it.
Just these lineups. I know we've talked about it, right? It involves Booker, right? We talked about playing Booker, but I just don't know. And everyone keeps talking about it, is how you see Mahdi and Cooper on the floor, or Cooper and Kohler, and then you throw in Carr. And I just don't. And I've seen everyone talk about it from, some of our guys. We talked about who we follow, DK, and then Ant, right? We're talking not just Michigan State guys, and it's just confusing because Cohen Carr is obviously still a big work in progress, right? Doesn't look to really shoot, and place, defenses skeptical on times on ball defending. But I don't know how you're setting him up for success when you're playing him with, Cooper and Kohler, because you got two guys inside and he's a slasher. He's going to be looking to get to the rim, and it just clogs up. So when we're seeing a lineup like that, and then you throw Hogard with them, now we got four guys on the court. How you have no confidence shooting the ball. So it just makes you easier to defend. And I think we've really seen that these past few games. And we saw it in Ohio State. And I just, you see when these teams, like we versus Ohio State, we get up. And then you go to that two big lineup and that lead comes back down. And I think we've kind of seen that consistently. And it's just mind-boggling how it kind of hasn't changed and how we continue to see that double big lineup where with this team, you're not getting that protection from one of them. And then to throw two of them in there, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah,
Lost for
no.
words on that part, but.
Honestly, I don't even have much to say on it either because I feel like we've been talking about this for the last 2.5 months. I feel like over around Christmas, like we were kind of realizing this, like oh, like we really need Kohler back because, you know, playing this lineups or not, and then Kohler comes back and hasn't really provided maybe as much offense as I personally at least had hoped going into the season. But yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you just said. Everyone on Twitter, like again, Ant Wright, you brought him up. I love Ant Wright, even though he's a Michigan guy. I think he's such a good follow, and he knows his stuff. And I think does a really good job talking about the like Michigan State and what Izzo is doing with these lineups. I feel like he's been offering a lot of good stuff, and yeah, it's just mind-boggling. You put it perfectly. Like it's literally everyone sees it except Izzo. Like I don't or I maybe it's the assistant coaches.
That's the thing. That's the one thing I don't know. Is it just is or is it the
Like
staff?
I don't want to say it's just Izzo because it might be other members on the staff, but it's like I don't know. And I'm guessing we'll get another clip between now and Wednesday of Izzo saying like, "Oh, I know you. The Twitter people are mad about this," and that's like, yeah, because look at the plot. Like you brought it up earlier, Booker's +11 and plus minus in the last two games, and like, yeah, it may not be the biggest sample size. Let's try and give him a bigger sample size and see if it stays the same, because it seems pretty like there seems like a pretty good direct correlation on when we give up leads and Xavier Booker not playing and Co Cooper and Mahdi both being in, or Cooper and Kohler both playing at the same time, or maybe it's just Sissoko. I don't know. You said it. I'm at a loss for words. It's yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, Northwestern not has they've been a really they've struggled on the road a lot this year. But yeah, Boo Booey coming back to East Lansing for one last time.
Break our hearts again.
I will
Break
be
our hearts again.
terrified. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm out of stuff. You got anything else, Johnny?
Other than Wednesday's a must win. That's all you could say, right?
Yeah,
I
it
realize
really
on senior
is.
night, you mentioned it, the emotions will be high, right? We're talking four of the five starters are seniors. So, and then obviously two of them technically have the eligibility, less was the COVID year. We'll see. That's obviously an end of the year discussion for those guys. But four seniors, they've been through it all. We, definitely been through the ups and downs, a lot of, downs.
Yep.
But we love these guys. We talk about Walker Hall. Hogard, right? They've been our guys these past 4 years, and for us being, seniors, we've been, this is what we've watched. So it'll definitely be a, emotional night for these guys, but let's just get a win. Let's
Yeah.
get a win versus a good Northwestern team and solidify that tournament spot.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a massive game for tournament implications and for all the reasons you just said. Last home game for us as students at Michigan State. So definitely going to be a bit of an emotional one on Wednesday, but I think Johnny and I are both really looking forward to it. We're going to be back a lot more often, I think, during March. Johnny and I are going to make a plan probably. Might do recaps after every game. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it. Spring break is over, so, and it's March, so school, don't turn it off, Mom and Dad. School takes a back seat for me in March. It's college basketball, man. That's all I care about right now. But we'll be back with you guys. Thanks for listening. Go follow Felix68. Go follow us on Twitter. Go follow Johnny and I. Go follow everyone. Subscribe on YouTube. Do all the things. We'll be back. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.